Welcome to the Explore Words, Discover Worlds podcast from Bradford Literature Festival. In this episode, Professor Abdullah Al-Qadi and Sheikh Hamza Yusuf share the remarkable story of Al-Qaswa, the beloved she-camel of the Prophet Muhammad. Faithfully accompanying the Prophet across the Hijaz, Al-Qaswa is mentioned numerous times in Hadith literature. Recorded live at the 2025 festival, this heartwarming account uncovers a story many have yet to hear, filled with antidotes that reflect the compassion and spiritual depth of Islam.
He has spent decades now following every single place where the Prophet went, as well as being a scholar of the Islamic tradition, because he memorized the Quran when he was very young. And his uncle, Allah yarhamuhu, told me that when he was young, they would always try to get him to go play soccer, and he wanted to memorize the Quran. So he was gifted in just having that inner directedness early in his life. But he also learned the Shafi'i madhab. He's one of the most adept people at the ilm al-fara'id, which is the inheritance laws. But then he did a PhD in Oregon in city planning, which entailed a lot of mastery of geography, of cartography, of how maps work. He taught statistics also for several years at university level. He was a vice president at one of the major universities. So extraordinarily distinguished career. But through all of that, this has been really a labor of love, because he has not done this. This was all side work that he did in addition to his professional career. And I was with him in Ta'if, where we met the great geographer, Ataq al-Biladi, who from the famous tribe of Bani Harb in Arabia. And he, Ataq al-Biladi, wrote a book on the hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ. But he conceded that Sheikh Abdullah al-Qadi had corrected the mistakes that they had historically made in routing the Prophet. And this was the topic last year, if people were here, when he talked about that. But and he wrote these extraordinary books, one of them dealing with the hijrah, but also dealing with Darb al-Anbiya, which is the ancient path of the Prophets, because the Prophets all visited Mecca. And so there's this place that can actually be seen from satellite, the road that the Prophets took, usually from Jerusalem to Mecca. And then he identified what are known as the Ma'alim, or the milestones. And the milestone is an ancient form of guidance. The Romans used them. England also has many milestones. So he found the milestones on the Darb al-Anbiya and the Hijrah route, and now they've acknowledged that in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. So they're recognizing the work that he's done, which has been decades of work. But he also did the Hislo app, which is an extraordinary device that enables you to find any place where the Prophet ﷺ visited. So you can find the coordinates through this app. It's also the most accurate of all the Qibla apps, because it's not based on a preconceived direction of the Qibla, like if you're in England and then you face southeast. It's based upon the GPS. So it actually gives you a GPS direction to the Qibla, which would be the soundest direction. This is all work that he's done as labors of love of our religion and of the Prophet ﷺ. And now, I was so overjoyed when he was actually appointed to be an advisor to the reconstruction of the sacred sites in Medina. So he's working there unfortunately, a lot of these sites were either demolished or neglected. And so he's working to restore them. And so these are all just amazing events. The idea of the Al-Qaswa is just such again, from Sheikh Abdullah bin Bayya said, we were with Sheikh Abdullah once, and after he left, we were talking about Sheikh Abdullah and the work he was doing, and he said, Alhamahu Allah, you know, this is divinely inspired work. So he has just really been inspired to do things that people haven't done before. And one of them is he's written an entire book on Al-Qaswa. And for people that know the Jahili tradition, the Naqa is a very important motif in Jahili literature. In the great poems of the Arabian Peninsula, which are known as the Mu'allaqats, there's always a section called the Rahil section. And it's the section where the poet talks about the journey that he makes with his camel. And usually it's a she camel. And the bond between an Arabian and his camel was a very strong bond, because these are creatures that would save their lives when they traveled these long distances. They're extraordinary animals. One camel story of my own: the first time I got on a camel was in West Africa, and the camel immediately took me to a thorn tree and rubbed me up against it. I got scratches all over my body. And the Bedouin that were with me, they thought it was very funny. I didn't think it was very funny. But I asked them why he did it, and they said, because he knows you don't know how to ride. And I said, well, how do you let him know? And there's a little nodule on the top of the camel's head, which is extremely sensitive. And the first thing you have to do when you get on the camel is you have to just tap that nodule so that the camel knows that you know his weak spot. And this is taskhir, that subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wama kunna lahu muqrinin. This is what the Quran says, that God has subjugated these creatures to human use. But once the camel becomes a friend, the camel is an amazing friend. And they have a very extraordinary way of, when you get into a canter, like khabab is a movement that the horse makes. In fact, khabab ibn al-arat, the name al-khabab is the one who trains the horse to trot. But the camel has a very unusual way of moving. So he actually, on each side when he moves, they move together. So it has a very interesting sway that you make with the camel. And I was fortunate, I rode camels in Mauritania for transportation for hours on end, and they're amazing creatures. So Qaswa, we're here to hear about Al-Qaswa, this amazing creature that accompanied the Prophet ﷺ. And so there's no better person really to tell us about this than Sheikh Abdullah Al-Qadhi.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحابته والتابعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. First of all, I'd like to thank Sheikh Hamza for joining me in this session or presentation. He's always supportive, and really fortunate that he did the foreword for all the three books. That's why, I mean, even though they have a very valuable content, but they become more valuable with his forewords. So thank you very much, JazakAllah Khair, Dr. Asad. I'd like also to thank all those who are attending and coming, whether from Bradford or outside from UK, or those who came and flew all the way from Saudi Arabia. They are here with us, joining and supporting. I'd like to also thank the organizers of the BLF here for their continuous effort, an amazing effort. As you read from the title here, شَهِدَةٌ عَلَى تَارِخٍ عَظِيمٍ, or a witness to sacred history, I'd like to start with thanking our major, actually, supporter, and he's with us, Engineer Anas Sayrafi, the family of Sayrafi, as one of the honestly noble families in Saudi Arabia, and they are supporting willingly and with no hesitation. Also, his daughter and his son, they join us every year. So thank you very much. There is an exhibition. We did a small exhibition here, just like a seed, but there will be a huge exhibition about the Qaswa, besides, of course, the book. And there are many other production to start, inshallah, with. before the words came, actually, my work on Al-Qaswa, I spent literally more than 10 years only on Al-Qaswa. So I searched every single source related to Al-Qaswa, whether in the Hadith or the Seerah or even the biography of the Sahaba, because as we see, there are Sahabas who are attached to Al-Qaswa. So in order to understand Al-Qaswa, you have to search every single source, even in the poem. There was actually a sheet I started in my house and putting notes. All of a sudden, then it became 25 meters long. So I kept putting the notes, attached them. So thanks to architect Wiam Al-Arfaj, who helped in this. She said we should show with my bad handwriting here. But I mean, this took me so long to just write down the journeys of Al-Qaswa, who were with Al-Qaswa at that time. Of course, field trips that I've done to search and look for Al-Qaswa were traveled with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Many notes, as Sheikh Hamza just said, statistics. I like statistics. So even I calculated with T-test, F-test, those who know the statistics. Also the categories of the camels on the types of the camels. As we will see, Al-Qaswa is, when Abu Bakr bought Al-Qaswa, was Ruba'iyya. So when they say Ruba'iyya, there is a certain category of the age, which is completed 6 years old or 6 years of her age and so on. So we need to calculate all those things. I was fortunate. I was riding everywhere, wherever I go. And this is during COVID in Al-Haram Al-Madani. And I was facing the place where Al-Qaswa came to the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I was blessed, I mean, to be there. I'll start where Al-Qaswa was born. You'll be surprised. A place called Layla, so which is Al-Aflaj. And this is 700 kilometers east of Mecca al-Mukarrama. This is Al-Aflaj, called Layla. Why Layla? Because Qais and Layla. Qais ibn al-Mulawwah and Layla al-Amiriyah. Al-Qaswa was born in the city of lovers. So there is, we shouldn't be surprised if we see this love between Al-Qaswa and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam later on. So again, the environment, the surrounding, if you're surrounded by a good environment, you will be impacted and affected. I was there. This is the cave where Layla and Qais used to meet. This is Mount At-Tubad. And she is actually, there are four tribes came from Ka'b, Barrabi'a bin Amir. So we have Uqayl and Ja'dah, Qushayr and Harish. Al-Qaswa is from Bani Qushayr. She is Qushayriya. And we have also one of the famous poet, As-Summa bin Abdullah al-Qushayri. He is a tabi'i, radiallahu an walidihi. And he fell in love with his cousin, Raya. They didn't actually get married. And this happens usually. He's Qushayri. And one of the most beautiful poem was written by As-Summa bin Abdullah al-Qushayri. Imam al-Qushayri, although he wasn't born in Al-Aflaj, but originally he's from this tribe. So his grandparents migrated and left Bani Qushayr. We have Ja'dah, we have Nabighah al-Ja'di, the Sahabi, the companion. He is from Ja'dah, also from the tribe of Qais and Layla. And we have Harish. And that's why when you read that Al-Qaswa is from Bani Qushayr, this is from Bani Qushayr, which is Al-Aflaj. Al-Qaswa left Al-Aflaj. Of course, when you leave your town, it's not an easy, it's difficult. You don't know your fate, but sometimes the qadar, the fate, is better than what you look for and decide for. So As usual, a group of camels were taken to Uqab. Uqab is one of the 28 souqs, which is markets, annual markets in the Arab Peninsula. Uqab is one of the most popular and famous souq or market. And then we have the Majaz and Majenna. Those are during the Hajj period. Starts from the first day of the Al-Qa'dah till 20th, which is Uqab. Then from 20th to 30th, Majenna. Then the Majaz from the first of the Hajjah till the 8th. And that's why Allah says, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. So they do transactions even during the Hajj time. So she was taken to Uqab to be sold there. At that time, Mecca was boiling. The Muslims were recommended to go and migrate to Al-Habasha, Abyssinia. So the first one, the second one. And by the way, Al-Qaswa was born in February 16, 616. There is a timeline. So which means was born after the revelation came to the Prophet ﷺ, 6 years after the time. So when she left Al-Aflaj, she was 6 years and few months. 6 years and few months. And this is Ruba'iyah. Of course, the Abu Bakr as-Siddiq wanted to migrate with the Sahaba to Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, but the Prophet ﷺ told him, just wait. لَعَلْ يَكُنْ لَكَ صَاحِبْ. You may find a companion. He said, أَوَتَظُنُّ ذَلِكَ. Do you think this is going to happen, Ya Rasulullah? He said, yes. Of course, immediately, Abu Bakr got so excited and went to Uqab to buy good camels. And he knew the good camels from Bani Qushayr would be brought and sold at Uqab, the largest mall at that time, if you consider it. So he went to Uqab and found those two camels. One of them was Al-Qaswa. So he bought them, radiallahu anh, with 400 dirhams each. So he paid 800 dirhams, so which is equivalent today to £1,200 each, or $1,600. Could be a lot at that time or little. I don't know. It depends how you value the, let's say, goal or what you're looking for. So this is a calculation that I did. So Abu Bakr took Al-Qaswa from Uqab, took him 3 days, to his house. And this is in Sahih al-Bukhari. So he kept them with him and started to feed them from Waraq al-Samr, acacia, to make sure they're fit for the hijrah. For four months. So if you calculate from Wahd al-Qa'da till the migration of the Prophet ﷺ, it's almost 4 months. And he kept them in his house at that time. So on the day where revelation came to the Prophet ﷺ, you should leave today, which was Thursday, September 8th, 26th of Safar. At that time, the Prophet ﷺ went during the Hajira, which is around the noontime, to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and he said, we have to leave now or today. Abu Bakr, of course, wept and got so excited. And then he told him, I bought two camels. So one for me, one for you. He said, وَلَكِمْ بِالثَّمَنِ. I have to pay. He said, of course, whatever you want. So then he agreed. And of course, they agreed on the amount. And he said, I think Abdullah bin Bidu'ayl, Abdullah bin Urayqat, he's from Bani Du'ayl, is a trustworthy person. He should be our guide. So the Prophet ﷺ agreed, and they sent the two camels with Abdullah bin Urayqat, and they told him, let's come and meet us at the footstep of Mount Thawr. After the 3 nights they spent in the ghar, by the way, subhanAllah, the ghar, the cave of Hira, the cave of Thawr, and we have the cave of Layla and Qais. So, yani, those caves, they have secrets. Any cave should have a secret. So, Abdullah ibn Urayqat came, and the first time Al-Qaswa to meet the Prophet ﷺ at the footstep of Ghar Thawr. Then they left, that was like 3 hours before Fajr at that day. And they traveled for 33 miles continuously, which is unusual. Usually, those camels or even walkers or human beings, usually they travel in 1 day, 24 miles per day, and they rest in between. But what they did, because they were in a hurry and rush, so they traveled 33 miles. And this is the first test for Al-Qaswa, that she was capable of carrying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first stop was under the shade of this rock. This is called As-Sakhra. So Abu Bakr said, فَأَسْرَيْنَا لَيْلَنَا وَنَهَارًا. We exhausted our time, night and day, by بالمسير, by walking, until قَامَ قَائِمُ الظَّهِيرًا, until it was the zenith time, and we wanted to rest. So he said, we stopped. So Al-Qaswa stopped. The Prophet ﷺ stepped down, and she was waiting. Abu Bakr went and found that rock and asked the Prophet ﷺ to go under the shade, of course, after cleaning. Then he saw a shepherd around and he said, can you milk for us? He said, yes, of course. So he milked, and then Abu Bakr made sure to clean, the container. And then he took the milk and waited until it became cool. Then came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, Ya Rasulallah, this is for you. So he said, the Prophet ﷺ drank until I got satiated. So the Prophet ﷺ was drinking, but Abu Bakr was feeling, subhanallah, what a love. So he said, Ta'adhan bin Rahil, shall we leave? He said, yes. So they left, and next stop was, of course, at Buraydah bin al-Husayb al-Aslami, and they stayed overnight there. Again, they traveled more than 48 miles, which is twice as you do per day. When they woke up in the morning, Buraydah asked the Prophet ﷺ, Aina tanzil ya Rasulullah? Where would you go? And where would you stay? He said, Inna naqati hadihi ma'mura. My camel, this is my camel, she is under command. And that was the first statement from the Prophet ﷺ to say, Inna naqati hadihi ma'mura, or da'uha fa innaha ma'mura. What we know always, يعني, she is the one who chose the spot of Quba, the spot of the Prophet's mosque. But inshallah, we'll go through and you will see that she chose many locations, many places. And there was a reason. Then they stopped at Ma'bad. Of course, the Prophet ﷺ stepped down from Al-Qaswa and went to Ma'bad. It's a very nice story. And then until Suraqa came and was able to get hold of them and spot them. And as you know, the people of Mecca, they put a prize, 100 camels. See here, they're using the camels, as just Sheikh Hamza said at the beginning. The Arabs, they really appreciate the camels, even their dowries, their expiations, whatever. They use camels as the monetary thing. So 100 camels, whoever brings the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the people of Mecca. Suraqa, of course, was able to spot them, but his horse sunk, couldn't continue. Imagine, يعني, this animal was used to, get hold to harm of the Prophet ﷺ, harm the Prophet ﷺ, and that animal or the Al-Qaswa was trying to protect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They reached Al-Juhfa, and we've mentioned before, Al-Juhfa is where the Prophet ﷺ stopped, and the ayah, Inna alladhi farada alayka al-Qur'ana, revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the revelation, when it comes, the Qaswa would feel it. We will show some cases here. Then after Al-Juhfa, at Al-Arj, one of their camels got so weak, couldn't continue, but Al-Qaswa proved that was the right camel for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then when they came to Rakuba, Mas'ud bin Hunayd al-Aslami, who led them to Rakuba, and he said, we can go to Rakuba, shortcut to Medina, but there are two people who are stopping the people on the way and try to rob them. The Prophet ﷺ said, no problem, just take us to Rakuba. So they went to Rakuba, they continued, and they saw the two men, and they asked the Prophet ﷺ, who you are? He said, I'm the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he said, what's your name? They said, Al-Muhanan, the disgraced, the humiliate. He said, Bal antum al-mukraman, you are the noble ones. And he changed their names. Immediately they got affected and they became Muslims. So now when you treat people with, I mean, nice words, and even if they say bad things to you, you react or go against what they say in a positive way, this will affect them. So the Prophet ﷺ continued his way. At Al-Juhfa, I forgot something, they met Abdullah ibn Zubayr and Talha ibn Ubaidillah. They were coming from Asham. And they told the Prophet ﷺ, the people of Medina are waiting, we're waiting for you. And they gave them as a gift garments from Asham. And it's been specified, this is in Bukhari. They gave them thiyabun biyab, white garments from the manufacturer of Asham. So when the Prophet ﷺ reached Al-Jathjatha, he stayed overnight there. And in the morning, Abu Bakr and the Prophet ﷺ, they wore the garments they were given to them from Abdullah ibn Zubayr and Talha ibn Ubaidillah. So when they entered Al-Medina, that was an indication, the globality of this message, that we accept anything. This is coming from Masham. And also it's a continuous thing to the Rihlat al-Shita'i wa-Saif, the connection between that one. When he arrived Quba and the Sahaba asked the Prophet ﷺ, stay with us, he said, دعوها فإنها مأمورة, leave her, she is under command. At Bani Amr bin Auf, see Quba, from Quba to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, only 2 miles. And see how many tribes and how many times the Prophet ﷺ would say, دعوها فإنها مأمورة. So at Quba, he said, دعوها فإنها مأمورة. After 4 days, he left Quba and he went to Bani Salim bin Auf. There is Masjid Al-Jum'ah, and that was the first Jum'ah that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayed there. And Bani Salim bin Auf, they said, why don't you stay with us, Ya Rasulullah? We will support you, we will help you, we defend you. He said, خَلُّ سَبِيلَهَا فَإِنَّهَا مَأْمُورَةً. I'm not going to translate this again. خَلُّ سَبِيلَهَا فَإِنَّهَا مَأْمُورَةً. It's more beautiful, honestly. Bani Bayada also, and they asked the Prophet ﷺ to stay with them. He said, خَلُّ سَبِيلَهَا فَإِنَّهَا مَأْمُورَةً. Then Bani Sa'ida, and then Bani Al-Harith ibn Al-Khazraj, and then Bani Adi ibn Al-Najjar. Bani Adi ibn Al-Najjar, we say the uncles, always we say khawal, akhwal, al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the uncles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The reason, Hashim, the founder of the caravan of Li'ila fi Quraysh, the people of Quraysh, Rihlatay Shita wa Saif, the two journeys to Al-Sham and Al-Yemen. Hashim, when he went to Al-Medina, he met a lady, her name is Salma bint Amr. She's from Al-Medina, from Bani Al-Najjar. The story is very nice, but they met and he married her and she gave birth to Abdul Muttalib, Shaybat al-Hamd. So that's why we say Akhwaluhum Bani Al-Najjar. Then Bani Malik ibn Al-Najjar, when they went there, and they said also, stay with us, we are Khawaluka, until she arrived to the place of Al-Mimbar, the pulpit. Al-Mimbar al-Nabawi, the location of Al-Mimbar was chosen by Al-Qaswa. And this is the Mabrak. And Mabrak, and always we say Barakah, blessing, and Mabrak. And we say Birkatul Ma'i, the swimming pool, which something positive that sustains, which will sustain. So always, where is the Barakah? And وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ. So the Barakah will not come and leave. Whenever it's there, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. So the minbar became, as we say, according to the milestones, mile zero. So if you want to measure any distance from Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, we use al-minbar, and hasn't been changed. And the Prophet ﷺ said, وَقَوَائِمُ مِنْبَرِي, so the pillars of my minbar, عَلَى حَوْضِي, صلى الله عليه وسلم. She is the one who chose al-minbar al-nabawi. This hadith by Anas, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا سافر أو غزا يردف أحد رجلا من أصحابه كل يوم. So whenever he travels, صلى الله عليه وسلم, he would give a ride every day to one of his companions. What a beautiful thing. We will see, I mean, I always say, when you drive your car or you go for any place, make sure you get somebody with you. يعني, if I'm in California, definitely I won't let Sheikh Hamza go anywhere except I have a ride with him, because you will benefit from him. So make sure, don't leave him alone. There are 5 categories. I traced what happened. So there are Sahaba who were fortunate to ride on Al-Qaswa by themselves for certain messages. There are Sahaba who were given a ride with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There are Sahaba who were fortunate to hold the rein of Al-Qaswa. We call it Al-Zimam. They were Sahaba responsible for the camel saddle, the Rahla, they call it Rahla. There are certain Sahaba who are responsible. We'll see, inshallah, we'll find the stories. And there were Sahaba who were also riding on their camels besides the Al-Qaswa when the Prophet ﷺ was traveling for some occasions. After Al-Hijra, and see, the initial, not idea, the initial goal behind buying the Al-Qaswa was the Hijrah. But then the Prophet ﷺ kept Al-Qaswa for him. And by the way, whenever you read Al-Qaswa or Al-Jad'a, or Al-Qaswa, Al-Jad'a, and Al-Dab'a, Al-Adba, Al-Adba, Al-Jad'a, Al-Qaswa are the same. But Al-Qaswa became the most popular. So I've done a lot of research on this. So the first journey, the Prophet ﷺ, when he settled, after a few months in Safar, the second year of Al-Hijrah, he went to Al-Abwa to make sure, do some agreements with the tribes of that area. So he took Al-Qaswa with him and passed by one of the mountains called Warqan. And he said, Hada Hamd. So the Prophet ﷺ always would teach his companions the landmark of the globe. So rather than just passing by those mountains, valleys, without connection or relating, we will see more examples, inshallah. The second journey he did from Medina to Buat, also because Buat was on the caravan of the people of Quraysh to tell them that we are here, we are strong, although we were expelled from Mecca, but still we are here. And then I'm putting the number of miles. Then we have Al-Ushayra. The Prophet ﷺ heard about Abu Sufyan going to Al-Sham, so he went to Al-Ushayra. But by the time he arrived to Al-Ushayra, he already missed Abu Sufyan. And he stayed one whole month there and made some agreements with the Bani Kinana and Bani Mudlij at that location of Al-Ushayra. And there is a masjid over there. Then we have the first expedition to Badr. We have Badr al-Ula. There is Kurz bin Jabir al-Fihri. So the people of Quraysh asked him to go and steal some of the camels of al-Madinah al-Munawwara. So he went there and took some camels from Medina and he ran. But the Prophet ﷺ followed him and chased him until he reached Badr. So we have Badr al-Ula. It's not Badr the major one or Thaniya. So this is Badr. And then we have Badr al-Kubra or Badr al-Thaniya, where the Prophet ﷺ asked the Sahaba, we're going to go and meet the caravan. There were 313 people at that time. So he left al-Madina al-Munawwara, and the first verse from Surah al-Anfal was revealed on al-Qaswa. On al-Qaswa. So when I quote those verses, only the ones were revealed on to the Prophet ﷺ while he was riding Al-Qaswa. So that was at Al-Bayda. On the way, there were three people riding one camel. So the Prophet ﷺ was Abu Lababa, Ali, and himself on one camel. So Abu Lababa joined them until Rawha, but the Prophet ﷺ asked him to go back and take care of Al-Madinah. So who replaced him? Murthad ibn Abi Murthad al-Ghanawi. So they were alternating. Two and one would walk. When the turn of the Prophet ﷺ came to walk, they told him, we will take your turn. One of us will walk and you just ride. He said, لَسْتُمَا بِأَقْوَى مِنِّي. You're not more strong than me. وَلَسْتُمَا بِأَحْوَجَى لِلْأَجْرِ مِنِّي. And I need also some reward as you did. Of course, the Prophet ﷺ passed by Irq al-Dhabya and al-Munsaraf, the valley of the Firan, and then reached Badr. After the Prophet ﷺ was given victory and they reached the valley of al-Uthayl, he told them, that was on the 17th of Ramadan on Friday, he told Zayd, take al-Qaswa and go to the people of Medina and tell them that Allah gave us victory in Badr. So he take and ran because that was a sign. See, if you have a car, which is well known to, many people, if you give them your car, there is a sign, there is an indication. Or if you give them a ring, as what when the Prophet ﷺ did for Zainab radiallahu anha, or when he gave his turban to Safwan bin Umayyah radiallahu anhu. He gave him the same turban that when he entered Mecca as a proof that he is giving him security. So he went to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, Zayd bin Haritha, on Al-Qaswa, and the people of Al-Madinah, of course the hypocrites, they said the Prophet was killed, or they said that Muhammad was killed. But Usama came and asked Zayd radiallahu anhu, that was Sunday on 19th of Ramadan. He said, of course Allah gave us victory, so alhamdulillah. And he mentioned those who were killed. On the same day, Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, because the Prophet ﷺ told him, don't join us in Badr. His wife Ruqayyah was sick. So told him, stay with Ruqayyah. And on that day, she passed away and she was buried. What happened when Zayd gave the glad tiding that Allah gave victory to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So Uthman went and joined Zayd to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they met at Ar-Rawha. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Uthman, so Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam rode on the Qaswa and asked Uthman to come and ride with him to comfort him and give him condolences. That was, a very impacting situation. He was in a situation losing his wife, but the Prophet ﷺ wanted to comfort him on Al-Qaswa. Bani Sulaym, of course, the people of Quraysh, couldn't bear the victory of Badr. So they tried to convince the people of Bani Sulaym east of Al-Madinah, Al-Munawwara, to attack Al-Madinah. But the Prophet ﷺ, when he knew, he went and tried to follow them to their place. This is called Bani Sulaym or Qarqarat al-Kudur until the Prophet ﷺ came back. Then we have Dhu Amr. Dhu Amr is also another tribe. This is Bani Ghatafan. They tried to come and attack al-Madinah, but the Prophet ﷺ went and tried to stop. Then we have Buhran. So they lost hope from the east. So they went to the south of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. The Prophet ﷺ went to Buhran, and when he finished and stayed 3 days there, Al-Asla' bin Shuraik was one of those Sahaba who were responsible for taking care of the rahab, the saddle, the camel saddle of the Prophet ﷺ. So he said, one night I had a wet dream and I didn't want to touch the saddle of Al-Qaswa while I was having wet dream. So I wanted to have ghusl to purify or have the shower. But it was cold. So he said, I asked one of the Ansar to prepare the saddle for the Prophet ﷺ, and I went and tried to put fire and warm the water and have ghusl. He said, while I was doing that, the Prophet ﷺ adhana bil-rahil. So he asked for leaving. So they left. The minute they left, the Prophet ﷺ felt there was something wrong with the camel saddle. So he said, where is al-asla', the Sahabi? So by that time, he finished. So he came, he said, I'm here, Rasulullah. He said, why your rahil, the saddle, is different this time? He said, I didn't do it. One of the Ansar did it. He said, why? He said, I had a wet dream and I didn't want to touch it while I was having the wet dream or before having the ghusl. Immediately, the revelation came and Allah revealed, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى وَلَا جُنُوبًا إِلَّا عَابِرِي سَبِيلٍ. So gave an excuse because of that incident in Buhran. We have that riqa'. That riqa', Ghatafan gave very hard time to the Prophet ﷺ. Those the people of Ghatafan, Bani Sulaym, and especially Ghatafan. One of the Sahaba was Jabir bin Abdullah. On their way back from their journey, the Prophet ﷺ noticed somebody with a camel who was, he saw somebody, he knew it was Jabir, but he didn't want to say Jabir. He said, who's that? Because he didn't want to embarrass him. You know, because they were يعني, in the desert, he could have come from, I mean, relieving himself. So he said, Jabir, Ya Rasulullah. He said, what's happening? He said, my camel became weak. He said, Anakh, kneel. So he knelt his camel, and then the Prophet ﷺ touched him and blessed him. And he said, Qum, so stand up. So he stood up. Then he started to run, going very fast, superseding the Al-Qaswa. Then he said, I started to slow down. So the Prophet ﷺ came beside Jabir and he said, what happened? I feel you are يعني, in a hurry. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I just got married. So my wife is waiting for me. And because I heard that you're leaving to that riqa', I didn't want to miss joining you. He said, Abikrun am Thayyib. See, this nice story, Abikrun am Thayyib, that we hear, that for Jabir, and that's at that riqa'. He said, Abikr or Thayyib? He said, Thayyib, Ya Rasulullah. Thayyib, who's like a widow who got married before. He said, why? He said, during the day of Uhud, my father told me, both of us is the most يعني, beloved to me to go and have shahada. But you know, I have 9 daughters, your sisters, and I have a debt. So I don't want you to go with me. So if anything happens to me, you take care of your sisters and take care of my debt. So the Prophet ﷺ, He figured that. He said, okay, because you just got married. When we reach Sirar, Sirar is a location which is 3 miles before reaching the Haram of the Prophet ﷺ, we will celebrate there, your wedding. Then he said, would you sell me your camel? He said, Ya Rasulullah, هذا ناضحنا. This is our camel that we use to get water, to water our farm and to drink. And so this is the only like tool that we're using. He said, I'd like to buy it. He said, Simhu Ya Rasulullah, how much would you pay? At the beginning he said, for you, but he said, no. So he said, how much would you pay? He said, 1 dirham. He said, 1 dirham Ya Rasulullah, ghafar Allah lak. This is yani nothing. He said, 2 dirhams. He said, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. May Allah forgive you. What is 2 dirhams? He said, 3 dirhams. He said, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What is this? He said, you just mentioned the price now. He said, أُقِيَّ. أُقِيَّ means 40 dirhams. He said, كَمْ مِن نَاضِحٍ وَنَاضِحٍ فِي أُقِيَّ. I could buy many camels with the أُقِيَّ, the 40 dirhams. But then he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's okay. He said, but okay, Prophet of Allah, I have the right to keep riding on the camel Now it's the Prophet's property until we reach Al-Madina Al-Munawwara. He said, that's for you. And this is the fuqaha, they said, you can have a shart with al-bay', a condition through transaction. So they kept going until they arrived Sirar, and they celebrated. And when they reached Al-Madina Al-Munawwara, so he went to his house, Jabir radiallahu anhu, and he told his wife, I sold the camel to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, MashaAllah, may Allah bless you. Yani, it's a good deal with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his aunt, when she knew, she said, why did you sell the camel? We don't have any nadih that we use. Also his uncle said the same thing. He said, khalas, I sold it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he took his camel to the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and left it. So he then entered the masjid, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and started to go around the camel. So Jabir said, I got so scared that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could change his mind. Then he asked Bilal, he said, go and pay him 40 uqiyah, one uqiyah, which is 40 dirhams, and also give him more salas. So he gave the money to Jabir and he left. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, Jabir, he said, what, Ya Rasulullah? He said, come back. Again, he got so scared, he could have changed his mind. He said, take the camel, it's for you. So he got so happy. Now, he sold the camel, he got it back, and now he got the message from the Prophet ﷺ. He wanted to help Jabir, but without donation, without saying, I'm helping you. So he bought something from him, even overpriced, to help him paying the debt of his father, Abdullah, radiallahu anhu, warda. Badr al-Maw'id. We call it Badr al-Maw'id, or the third Badr. After Uhud, Abu Sufyan said, Maw'udina Badr al-Am al-Qadim. So let's meet at Badr next year, which means the Al-Qa'idah, year 4. So the Prophet ﷺ told Umar, tell him, yes, we're going to meet. Of course, the Prophet ﷺ fulfilled the promise. And at that month, he went and traveled to Badr. And Abu Sufyan, he left Mecca. When he reached Marr al-Dhahran, which is less than 20 miles, he got scared. And he said, there is no use to go there. Let's go back. But the Prophet ﷺ and the companions went there. And it happened there was a souq at that time, one of the annual markets. So they did transactions, and alhamdulillah, Allah gave them profit from the souq. On their way back, Aisha was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when they reached the valley of Al-Uthayl, he asked the Sahaba, let's go ahead. I'm going to go behind a little bit. Then he stopped Al-Qaswa and went to Aisha, and he said, would you race? So we always hear that they were racing. She said, of course. So they ran, and of course Aisha went ahead of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time. So he rode Al-Qaswa and then continued his journey to Al-Madina Munawwara. Then Dawmat al-Jandal came. Dawmat al-Jandal, which is north of Al-Madina Al-Munawwara, the Prophet ﷺ heard that there are robbers and people who are stopping those who are traveling with their trades in Dawmat al-Jandal. And Dawmat al-Jandal also one of the major locations in the Arabian Peninsula that connects all the routes coming from Iraq, from Sham, from Yemen, and of course passing to Al-Madina Al-Munawwara. The Prophet ﷺ wanted to teach those a lesson, those people, and to make sure people have freedom to do transaction. Because he did the hijrah, the whole idea behind the hijrah, to have a freedom to worship. Here, to have freedom to do the trading at that location. So he went to Dawmat al-Jandal, of course, defeated the people and came back. And knowing that the Prophet ﷺ, he knew the importance of the trades. He was what? The one who been hired by Khadija to go to Asham in her trades, whether Hubasha or Asham or other locations. We have Bani al-Mustalq. Bani al-Mustalq, It's a very important journey that the Prophet ﷺ, when he heard that the people of Bani al-Mustalaq from Khuza'a, so the lady Juwayriya is from Bani al-Mustalaq. This is close to Qudayt. So he sent Buraydah ibn al-Husayb al-Aslami and told him, make sure, are they coming and trying to attack al-Madinah? So it was really true. While he was traveling from Medina, before reaching Bani al-Mustalaq, Allah revealed the beginning of Surah Al-Hajj. Ya ayyuhan nasu, taqu rabbakum inna zalzalat al-sa'ati shay'un azim. So he continued, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until they reached Bani al-Mustalaq. At Bani al-Mustalaq, they wanted to get water. So one of the servants of the Muhajirin kind of hit the servant of the Ansar. So that person started to scream and he said, Ya lal Ansar. And the other one said, Ya lal Muhajirin, until there was a fitna. So the Prophet ﷺ tried to extinguish that fitna and it was calm. When the news went to Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul, because he was in that, he's the head of hypocrites. He heard the news. He said, أَوَقَدْ فَعَلُوهَا أَوْ they did it. وَاللَّهِ لَإِنْ رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَدَلِ When we go back to Al-Madinah, we're gonna kick out and let the noble ones kick the humiliated ones. He meant the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Zayd bin Arqam, he was a kid. He wasn't, like in his 13 years old. So he heard the word and he went and told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got so upset, of course. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, let me kill this person. And Abdullah ibn Abi Salam, he said, no, just wait. So Abdullah knew that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew. He said, and apologized. He said, I didn't say that. Zayd was lying. Of course, sometimes, the kids, when they come and tell you something and then they are refuted, they get upset, of course. So he kept calm. Even his uncle criticized him. Why did you say that? Anyhow, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Adhan bin Rahil. So let's leave. Adhan bin Rahil. So he said, ask Al-Qaswa to come. Al-Qaswa came. That was unusual time to leave. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left and made sure they got exhausted traveling the whole day, the whole night, and part of the daytime at that time. Zayd bin Arqam radiallahu anhu, he said, but I took my camel and made sure to go along with Al-Qaswa and keeping my eye towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, while he was in Al-Qaswa, I felt there was something with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which means the wahi came. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to him and revealed Surah Al-Munafiqun, the whole surah, while he was in Al-Qaswa. So he turned his face and pulled the ear of Zayd bin Arqam. He said, لَقَدْ صَدَّقَ اللَّهُ هَذِهِ الْأُذُنِ. So your ear said the truth, which means you've discerned properly. So after they sat down, the Prophet ﷺ got so affected. Traveling for so long on Al-Qaswa or any camel, but Al-Qaswa, because felt the same thing, so it went very fast, obeying the Prophet ﷺ. So he sat down and one of the Sahaba came and tried to message him. So Umar, he said, Ya Rasulullah, as if you're complaining from your back. He said, تَقَحَّمَتْ بِيَ الْقَصْوَى. So Al-Qaswa, as if I got hurt. Even the Qaswa didn't like the words of Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul. So she was impacted. On their way back, the Prophet ﷺ saw Al-Naqi'. Al-Naqi' is a valley in Al-Madinah Munawwara. This is one of the Hima, one of the sanctuaries, one of the places that the Prophet ﷺ protected. So he asked Bilal to ride on Al-Qaswa and do race with somebody else. And Al-Qaswa, of course, won the situation. And before that, at the end, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Aisha again. He said, would you like to race? And they ran again, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam won that time. And then he said, هَذِهِ بِتِلْكِ. This one in place of that one. So we say in Arabic, واحد للكل والروحارة. We have Bani Lihyan. Bani Lihyan, the reason for the Prophet ﷺ asked Al-Qaswa to go to Bani Lihyan, because of the Bani Raji', Al-Raji', six Sahabas were sent to Hudayl, which is close to Usfan, and they said, we would like you to send some of your Sahaba to teach us. But unfortunately, they tricked them and they killed them all. And the last one was Khubayb ibn Uday, who was crucified. One of those people was Mirthad bin Abi Mirthad al-Ghanawi, the one who was fortunate to ride on al-Qaswa during Badr. So the Prophet ﷺ went to Bani Lihyan, but he changed the route. He went up at the north and came down. Then the Qarad, or the Qarad or Al-Ghaba, again, Husayn bin Uyayna al-Ghifari, he attacked the camels of Al-Madinah Munawwara and left. But Salama ibn al-Akwa', who was known for, يعني, mashallah, even superseding the horses when he runs. So he went there and tried to get hold of the camels and defeat them. Of course, the Prophet ﷺ followed them. But on their way back, he wanted to reward Salama ibn al-Akwa', so he gave him a ride on Al-Qaswa. Al-Hudaybiyah, one of the journeys that the Prophet ﷺ also went there. So Usama bin Umair bin Amir al-Hudali, one of those who rode on Al-Qaswa. On the way, the Qaswa stumbled. So he fell down from Al-Qaswa. Then he said, Ta'isa al-Shaytan. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't say Ta'isa al-Shaytan. Ta'isa al-Shaytan means what a wretched or kind of cursing الشيطان. He said, لا تقل تعس الشيطان فإنه يكبر حتى يصبح مثل البيت. So he would get large until he becomes like the يعني, house or the size of the house. ولكن قل لا إله إلا الله فإنه يندحر. But say لا إله إلا الله, so he will just be يعني, become very small. The Prophet ﷺ is teaching us, I mean, if you're not happy with something, don't curse anything. Just be with Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he reached Taniyat al-Murar, al-Qaswa refused to continue. So the Sahaba, they said, khala'at al-Qaswa. Khala'at means balked or refused or disobeyed. So khala'at al-Qaswa. The Prophet ﷺ got so angry and he said, ma khala'at al-Qaswa wa laysa laha bi khuluq. This is not her nature, not her character. ولكن حبسها حابس الفيل. She was prevented by the same reason what prevented the elephant from entering Mecca. So when she reached, see, the boundary of Mecca, she stopped. She refused because she knew there was something wrong could happen. Until the Prophet ﷺ, of course, did an agreement, the Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, and went back. And on his way back, the surah of Al-Fath was revealed during the night on Al-Qaswa to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khaybar. Of course, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to secure the Al-Madinah al-Munawwara for all sides. So he decided to go to Khaybar during the month of Muharram. A group of women came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was preparing to go to Khaybar. And one of them was Umayma bint Qais al-Ghifari. Umayma bint Qais al-Ghifari. And she said, we came, a group of women from Bani Ghifar, and asked the Prophet ﷺ to join him so we can help the Sahaba, like cooking for them, washing their clothes. And he said, فَأَذِنَ لَنَا. And she was young. So the Prophet ﷺ gave her a ride on al-Qaswa, al-Haqiba. Al-Haqiba means something that you can sit in, which is connected to the camel saddle at that time. And she was young. She went with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he stopped for Fajr, and he went. By the time he went, she saw blood. So she got so shy, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came, he said, لَعَلَّكِ نَفُسْتِ. So you got menstruated. So that was her first period. She said, yes. He said, لا عليك, don't worry. Just wash what يعني, touched your clothes or al-haqiba and put salt in the water and clean yourself. And that's it. Imagine if you're on a car and your kid do a mess or spill a drink or see what would happen. So she said, I started to clean myself every time after I get my purity. I make sure put water in the salt. And she said, also, I asked, when I die, they put salt in the water. When I washed my body to be washed, that I have water. So when the Prophet ﷺ finished from Khaybar, he got a necklace and put the necklace around Umayma radiallahu anha. He said, this necklace, what you see, was put by the hands of the Prophet ﷺ when we were in Khaybar. And I never took it off. And I asked my family to bury it with me. So I was searching for the necklace, but then I found out that was in the grave. Again, this shows you the milestones of the age of your kids, how you should treat them. So when they reached Khaybar, then he gave a ride to Abu Talha radiallahu anhu wa arda. And then the Prophet ﷺ stopped at Natar Raji', the location before. And the Sahaba sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to change the location. But he said, just wait. دَعُوهَا فَإِنَّهَا مَأْمُورَةٌ خَلُّوا سَبِيلَهَا. So the Qaswa went and chose the location of what called Masjid al-Sakhra. This is in Khaybar. Masjid al-Sakhra. The people of Khaybar, they know that. They know the story. But al-Qaswa chose the location of the Masjid. When he wanted to come back, Safiya bint Huyay bin Akhtab, radiallahu anha wa ardaha, Umm al-Mu'mineen. Before the Prophet ﷺ met her, she had a dream that a moon fell in her lap. She told the dream to her family, and they said, تَتَمَنَّيْنَا مَلِكَ الْعَرَبِ. So you want to marry the king of the Arab. They meant the Prophet ﷺ. And they slapped her. And they left, that slap left bruises in her face. She said, a few days later, I went to the Prophet ﷺ, and he saw the bruises on her eye. And he said, what happened? She told him the story. That's what happened. Then he offered to marry. Immediately she agreed. That's what she wanted. So again, she's the one who she wanted the Prophet ﷺ in this situation. So on his way back to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, he gave her a ride. By the way, I searched. Don't ask me why. She was the only one who was given ride on Al-Qaswa among his wives. Why? I don't know. Maybe because from a different tribe, from whatever. I'm sure we'll find, inshallah, the answer. So he offered his thigh in order to step and jump on Al-Qaswa, but she refused to put her foot on the thigh of the Prophet ﷺ. So she pinned her leg and she put her thigh on the thigh of the Prophet ﷺ, and then she jumped. Until they arrived, and Al-Qaswa stumbled again, and she fell down with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam there. So Abu Talha immediately rushed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Hal ra'aka shay? Are you okay, Prophet?" He said, "Don't worry. Just pay attention to Safiya, if she's okay or not." Umratul Qadha. After they agreed in Al-Hudaybiyah that they will have an agreement, they will come next year. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used Wadi al-Far' to go to Mecca al-Mukarramah. There are many, many incidences. He wanted to get, or he married Maymuna bint al-Harith radiallahu anha during that year. And he wanted to do their wedding, to consummate to Maymuna in Mecca. But the people of Mecca refused. They said, you were given only 3 days and you have to leave. And if you marry in a country where you will, it's like today when you're given a visa to visit, so you're not allowed to work. Or if you're given a visa to do Umrah or Hajj, khalas, you have to leave after a certain day. So the same thing the people of Mecca did, they asked the Prophet ﷺ to leave. So when they reached Sarif, the Prophet ﷺ consummated with Maymuna radiallahu anha. Sarif is it's on the way. So And the Prophet ﷺ told her, don't die in Mecca. So in year 51 of Hijrah, she went for Hajj and she got sick and she felt that she's dying. She told her nephew, Abdullah bin Abbas, she said, take me away from Mecca until she reached Sarif. There was a tree. She said, at this spot, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we got married, as we say, the wedding hall. So she said, I wanted to die here. And of course, she died and buried at the same location. So they continued back until they reached. This hadith is amazing, subhanAllah. Al-Qaswa, when she saw Azwar, Harrat Azwar, she stopped and turned, and then she knelt. The Prophet ﷺ stepped down, it was during the night, and he slept. He had a nap, putting his head on the hand of Al-Qaswa. And then he woke up, and he did a long dua. Then he prostrated. Then he made another long dua. Then he prostrated. Then he made a long dua. Then he prostrated. So few of the Sahaba who were around him, they said, you were doing something unusual. He said, da'awtu Allah tawila, to give me shafa'ah, intercession, to let me intercede for my ummah. And he gave me 1/3. So I gave prostration. I was thankful for the 1/3, but it wasn't enough. So I made another dua. So he gave me a 2/3. So I prostrated. Then I made a dua. So he gave me the last 1/3. So I prostrated. So hadith al-shafa'a, al-qaswa is the one who chose to divert, or let, I don't want to say divert, to change and turned from the location and to stop and to be given that hadith. The opening of Mecca. The Prophet ﷺ took Ali ibn Abi al-As ibn Rabi', the son of Zainab radiallahu anha, his daughter. Of course, at that time, she already passed away. So he gave him a ride until they reached Marr al-Dhahran. At this location, the Prophet ﷺ was passing by Jabal al-Asla' and saw Abu Sufyan. And he was complaining about Sa'd bin Ubadah, because Sa'd bin Ubadah told him that we're gonna tastahillu Mecca, which means that we're gonna attack you at Mecca and the people of Mecca. So he got so upset. And when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, told him what Sa'd told him. So Allah revealed immediately, when عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُقِبْتُمْ بِهِ, at this location when the Prophet ﷺ was on Al-Qaswa. And he took the banner from Sa'd and gave it to his son, Qais bin Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu, because he wanted to keep the banner in the house of... So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the people of Al-Taif heard that he came and opened Mecca, so they came from Al-Taif to Hunayn. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went and the story of Hunayn happened. Then he kept chasing them until he reached Al-Taif, and then he stayed there 20 nights and came back. And his way back from Al-Taif at Qarn al-Manazil. Qarn al-Manazil is one of the locations where people of the East, they made their ihram. Abu Zar'a was holding the rein of the camel. So he gave it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to turn the rein, it hit Abu Zar'a radiallahu anhu arda. So he said, did the rein touch you? He said, yes. So he waited until they reached Al-Ju'rana. So he saw a group of sheep, and he took those sheep and gave them to Abu Zar'a in place of what hit him, radiallahu anhu wa arda. Tabuk. So of course, Tabuk is al-Antra. Yeah. Of course, Tabuk is a long journey, and many Sahaba were given يعني, a ride. Suhail bin Bayda, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet he said, Suhail. He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. He said, Suhail. So the Sahaba knew that they wanted the attention from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he used different types of teaching. So Al-Qaswa, like the back of the Qaswa was like a classroom, moving classroom. Abu Umama al-Bahili, radiallahu anhu wa arda, many Sahaba, Abu Iyas, Abu Darda. We know Abu Darda. He said, Abu Darda, he was riding with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on Al-Qaswa. He said, Man qala la ilaha illallah mukhlisan biha. So whoever said, La ilaha illallah, with sincerity, and you believe in it, dakhla al-Jannah. That's it. Abu Darda paused and he said, "Wa in zana wa in saraq," even if he fornicates and steal, the Prophet ﷺ, even if he fornicates and steal, "Ragham anf Abu Darda," in spite of, we say, "Ragham anf," in spite of Abu Darda, regardless. So this shows the mercy of this deen. يعني, we shouldn't judge the people. يعني, it's not up to you. This is Rahmatullah Azza wa Jal. Al-Harith ibn Hazm al-Ashhali radiallahu anhu wa ardah. Then Abu Bakr, I mean, there are many stories about time skipping. Abu Bakr, the Prophet ﷺ, during the Hajj of year 9, asked Abu Bakr to lead the Hajj. So he went, and then the Surah of Bara'ah was revealed. And the Sahaba, they said, send the Surah to be recited by Abu Bakr. He said, "La, only one of my family." So he chose Ali and gave him Al-Qaswa. And he left from Medina to Mecca. But he reached Al-Arj when Abu Bakr was there. Abu Bakr heard the grunt of Al-Qaswa. He said, "Hadihi raghwat Rasulullah," the grunt of Al-Qaswa. Then he stopped. He was starting to lead the prayer. He said, "Let's wait." So when Ali came and saw him, he said, "Amiran, are you coming to lead?" He said, "No, I'm joining you. But I'm asked to go and recite the beginning of Surah Bara'ah there at Mecca." So they knew even the grunt of Al-Qaswa, radiallahu anhum, wa ardahum, Hajjat al-Wada'ah. When the Prophet ﷺ decided to make the Hajj, so he chose his izar and his rida from Suhar from Oman. Again, this shows the globality of this deen. So he chose an indicating that I'm wearing from a location which is very far from Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. So the message, not only, let's say, in worship, even with the clothing. This is from Oman. So they, of course, went to the Valley of Al-Aqiq, passed by many locations. There are many stories, but I will stop just by. This is Harsha, where all the Sahaba, prophets passed by. And the Prophet ﷺ used to teach them, hada Harsha, hada Warqan, hada Jumdan, hada Kada. Again, paying attention to those landmarks on the way. So when they reached Al-Abwa, the camel of Safiya, again, Safiya, got weak. So the Prophet ﷺ felt that somebody was slowing down the caravan. So he said, "What happened?" They said, "Jamalu Safiya, the camel of Safiya is weak and now can't move." So he stopped Al-Qaswa and stepped down, and he went to Safiya. She was crying and started to wipe her tears with his hands and calming her down. But she couldn't stop. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Let's stop." So stopped the whole caravan until he asked Zainab bin Jahsh. He said, "Why don't you help your sister and try to carry part of the baggage, her baggage, in order to make her camel go fast?" He said, "Ana u'inu yahudiyatak," your Jew wife, you want me to help her? He got so upset and just stopped from talking to Zainab until almost before he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a long story. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-Fatiq, also one of those who took the reign. In Arafat, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum, revealed on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was on Al-Qaswa. Also, before leaving Arafat, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Bilal, "O Bilal, ansit al-nas, let the people listen to me." So the Bilal, who is well known for his voice for the adhan, so he called the people and he said, "Atani Jibril," the Prophet said, "Atani Jibril, waqad qala li inna Allah ghafara li ahl al-mash'ar." So Allah forgave for all the people who are in al-mash'ar. "Wa tahammala anhum at-tabi'at," and he will take care of their, let's say, like debts, responsibilities. Then Umar immediately asked, "Ahwalana khassa," is it only for us? He said, "Lakum wa liman ata ba'dakum," and for those all who will come after you. Then Umar cried and he said, كثر خير الله وعظمه. What is the bounty of Allah Azza wa Jalla? It's a lot. Subhanallah. Then the verse or the surah, إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح, revealed on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he said, this is on the 12th day of Dhul Hijjah. He said, where is Al-Qaswa? So they brought Al-Qaswa. He rode Al-Qaswa. He went to Al-Aqaba and he gave a khutbah. So he gave Al-Khutbah on the day of Arafah. He gave a khutbah on Yawm al-Nahr. And he gave a khutbah also on the 12th day of Dhul Hijjah. And he said, لعلي لا ألقاكم بعد عامي هذا. I may not see you after this year. Also in another khutbah, he said, لعلي لا أحج. I may not make Hajj after عامي هذا. So Al-Qaswa felt on his way back, صلى الله عليه وسلم, he wanted to do the farewell tawaf. So he passed by the house of Khadija, رضي الله عنها وارضاها. And then he remembered those days of Khadija. She's the one who supported him. So it's not only a farewell to the Sahaba. Also, this is the last time he's going to pass by the house of Khadija, رضي الله عنها وارضاها. And he remembered those nice words he said, or she said to him. He stopped, of course, by Ghadir Khum. Then he reached Al-Madinah. المنورة. Those are the journeys of Al-Qaswa from Al-Aflaj. See what she did. يعني how many journeys, how many days, how many... The Prophet ﷺ, when he passed away, she refrained from drinking or eating, and she lived only for 18 days, then she passed away. She couldn't bear, she became blind, she couldn't bear leaving the Prophet ﷺ. That's Al-Qaswa during the sunset.
Allahu Akbar. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh Abdullah. MashaAllah. I wish we had more time. I know you had more stories to share. MashaAllah. Incredible presentation. I think it's one of the joys of the work that you do is the aspects of the seerah that we think are extras in the story, you really bring to the foreground in a way that gives a deeper richness to the story itself. This is one of the things I want to bring you into the conversation, Sheikh Hamza, that you've talked about how seerah is framed, how it's taught, how it's essentially the milestones that have been given. What do you think about how we typically frame seerah and how contributions like Sheikh Abdullah Al-Qadi's can add to that?
Bismillah. Well, first of all, I think Imam Suhaili wrote a beautiful book from Ibn Hisham's work that came from Ibn Ishaq's, but he called it Rawd al-Unuf. You know, it was the ungrazed pastures. And the idea was he wanted to look at things that had been neglected by the other scholars. And I think that's what's so extraordinary about Sheikh Abdullah's work is it really is original work. It's not, a lot of writers rehash. There are many, many seerah, and they often are just rehashing what's already been told. Some of them, you know, good, and they can, maybe if somebody has a really good pen, especially in English, there's room for a lot of work. But these are really, I think, very innovative in the best sense of that word, ibda'. You know, so the Sheikh, I think the idea of the centrality of this animal in the seerah is just so extraordinary because the, first of all, the idea of the journey of life, that life is a journey, and then you know, you're carried on your journey in the past by animals and now by machines, but we move in the world and time is really the measurement of movement. And so we're given this allotted time. And I think it's just, it's quite stunning. I think the relationship that the Prophet ﷺ had with animals is really extraordinary. We were talking earlier that I had met this, I was with Yusuf Islam many years ago in New York. And there was a musician who had played on one of his albums who ended up, we had tea together, and his name is Peter Gabriel. I think he's a very famous English musician. Yusuf asked him what he was doing, and he said that he was focusing on animal rights. And what he explained was that he had worked in the area of human rights, but he just felt that we really needed to start with the animal rights because there's so many human beings that are being treated like animals. And just the fact that we can say that, treated like animals, that if you don't have a concern for animals, then it becomes very easy if you've dehumanized other people. And there are many examples of it right now that come to mind, obviously, that are on the hearts and weigh heavy on the minds of a lot of people today, of just treating human beings like animals. But if it becomes unacceptable to treat animals like animals, then of course it would be naturally much harder to justify treating human beings like that. And I think the Prophet ﷺ, his focus on animal rights is because he's rahmah lil alameen. He's a mercy to all the worlds. And so his concern for animals is not an insignificant, it's profoundly significant in terms of how we as a species relate not just to ourselves, but to other species. And so even the use of animals, the fact that the Prophet ﷺ told people, you know, he saw a man once who was going to slaughter an animal in front of another animal. He said, are you going to kill it twice? The one who had to watch the first one being slaughtered. And then one of the most powerful hadiths in our tradition, which is in the 40 hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Inna Allah katab al-ihsan ala kulli shay." Allah has prescribed, he's made it an obligation to have ihsan on everything. He chose to use as the example of ihsan the sacrifice of an animal. And if you think about that, the fact that he took something which is probably one of the ugliest things that we do, which is to take the life of a creature, he said, in that thing you should have ihsan. And he said, the ihsan of that is to sharpen the blade, لِيُرِيحَ ذِبِيحَتُهُ, that he gives the animal some raha, some repose, that you don't harm the animal, you make it as quick as possible and as less painful as possible. So I think, you know, the centrality of this amazing creature in the Prophet ﷺ's mission and life, it's really stunning. And then the idea also of that it was ma'mura, that this animal, and this is another thing, that animals, I mean, even though it's apocryphal, the story of the lizard is, you know, is amazing. سَرَى مَنْ عَلَى مَنْ قَالَ لِلْضَبِّ مَنْ أَنَا فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَنْتَ مُحَمَّدِ. And also the Prophet ﷺ, the fact that animals respected him, because Aisha radiallahu anhu said that they had an animal that was in the house, and they don't say what it was, but it was feral, so it was some kind of wild animal. It was like and it used to run all over the house. But when the Prophet ﷺ came in, and this is in the Sahih collection, that suddenly the animal would just be still and be completely composed as long as the Prophet ﷺ was in the room. And then when the Prophet left, it would go back to running around. So it's just, mashallah. So may Allah reward you for this work, Shaykh Abdullah, because especially children, one of the ways that you inculcate compassion and empathy in children is to raise pets. And it's not for nothing that torturers are often trained with animals first before they torture human beings. And this was something that the Americans, when they were training some of the South Americans, they would use animal torture, because if you can listen to the cries of an animal, it becomes easier to listening to the cries of human beings. So just the rahmah of you know, the cats, the Prophet ﷺ loved cats, and the Muslims had many awqaf that were just for the animals, and so this idea of animal rights, which is very late in the Western tradition, the fact that it was established by the Prophet ﷺ, the huquq of hayawanat, that they have rights, is I think really just a really important and unfortunately a very unexplored area for a lot of modern Muslims who no longer have pets. Traditionally, Muslims had pets, but many Muslims no longer have pets. which is not a good thing, because children should be raised with animals. It's very important.
Unfortunately, we're out of time, but I want to ask Sheikh Abdullah if you can maybe just conclude. You said you worked on this for 10 years. If there is one element of the study of the life and the integrated existence of Al-Qaswa in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you took away, what would that be?
Yani first, Sheikh Hamza just mentioned, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. العالمين, يعني, it's not only for يعني, human beings, not only for Muslims, it's not العالمين, everything. And this is a good example, I mean, how he treated Al-Qaswa. And not only that, there are creatures, as Allah says, وَإِمْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُنَا تَسْبِحَهُمْ. Also, يَجِبَا لِأَوُّبِ مَعَهُ وَالطَّيْرُ وَلَنَّا لَهُ الْحَدِيدُ. So every single, let's say, created thing, not necessary animals, has or they have value. So we have to pay attention to those things. So how about if it comes to human beings? Inshallah, يعني when the book, which will come inshallah in October, it will come out. There are many lessons, because I stressed on the lessons and the values of every single situation and incident that took place. As Sheikh Hamza just mentioned, Al-Qaswa, يعني, everybody knows Qaswa. When you say Al-Qaswa, the camel of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's it. If you more than that, يعني, one, two pages. But the more you dig in it, subhanAllah, you find yourself.
So next we have Ya'rfur and Duldul and Sekbun and Mortajas. There's other books to come.
Inshallah.
Because they all became depressed after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Of course.
Ya'rfur actually threw himself into
a
well.
That's right.
Yeah. And we know now that animals get depressed. There's a famous person that helps people with their pets, but he said that, you know, the animals, that people don't realize that when people are depressed, their pets get depressed.
Of course.
Also.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Yani, all the incidences where the Prophet ﷺ felt like in Bani al-Mustalaq, the Qaswa felt. So the Sahaba could know what was happening to the Prophet ﷺ through Al-Qaswa. They would know.
Jazakallah khair.
Jazakallah khair. Before closing with some announcements, join me in thanking both Sheikh Abdullah Al-Qadi and Sheikh Hamza for tonight's speech.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Explore Words, Discover Worlds podcast with Bradford Literature Festival. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please subscribe, share this episode with others, and leave a rating. Mark your calendars for the return of Bradford Literature Festival, Friday the 3rd to Sunday the 12th of July, 2026.